This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. It's the Now News Panel. I'm Dave alongside Michelle McQuigg and Megan Gilmore. Let's raise the curtain on topic number two. The bright lights of Broadway in New York City will soon be re-illuminated. But for Canadians vaccinated with the AstraZeneca shot who seek the glory days of Springsteen on Broadway, well, they'll find themselves dancing in the dark. Producers of the show will only allow fully vaccinated people to attend the show with one important caveat. The vaccine received must be FDA approved, which leaves those jabbed with AstraZeneca without a New York City serenade. It speaks to something of a jungle land of vaccine favoritism. Michelle, you want us to walk down this thunder road? Why?
Thanks, boss. We're entering a whole new frontier of COVID obstacles to navigate. The emphasis for so long is get vaccines in arms, then we can open up. So we got vaccines in arms through a whole patchwork of policies and vaccines themselves. And every country was in the same boat. So now you have so many different vaccines, way more than the four that have been approved for use in Canada, only three of which are actually getting used in Canada. There's a whole smorgasbord of international vaccines out there, and now you see the consequences of this approach and some of the fallout from this as people prioritize certain vaccines, express, cut certain ones out of the loop. And now you're going to have people shut out because they followed government advice and obtained any vaccine that was available when it was available. This is going to be our new reality. Now that COVID, the worst of COVID, hopefully knock on wood, is behind us, we're going to be entering the rules that apply to the vaccinated and see how those apply and what kind of economic reopening we're going to be able to have based on vaccine-oriented rules. And this I find endlessly fascinating because not only are we going to be navigating this for a while, but it's very complex. And something like this, the Bruce Springsteen example, other late night shows, for instance, SNL, you can't attend if you have received an AstraZeneca vaccine. Late night with Jimmy Fallon, should that be your thing? Same deal, you can't do it. So what does this do for not only Canadians who received the AstraZeneca, but the millions around the world who have done it? This is, you know, Broadway, late night TV, these are supposed to attract some tourist dollars. If you want people coming in from places like Britain and elsewhere in Europe or Canada, and you're going to be denying access based on the vaccine that they got, which itself was based on government advice, what's that going to look like? Is this what you had in mind?
Yeah, well, so for example, right, like in the United Kingdom, the AstraZeneca vaccine was the most common vaccine that was given out in England. It was very commonplace for a lot of people in the UK to have received the AstraZeneca vaccine. And despite some road bumps in Europe, it was also very common throughout the EU as well. Now, Michelle, you kind of asked for our general reaction on this. And because it's a good topic, it creates kind of a wavering, right? That my initial reaction is like, well, that's kind of silly. The Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, although not as effective in terms of preventing the catching of COVID-19 or contracting of COVID-19, is still proven to do an excellent job in regards to preventing hospitalizations and death. It's still a very effective vaccine, according to the public, like the Public Health Agency of Canada. Yeah. And a lot of the issues that had it held up for FDA approval in the United States were more about the blood clotting issues and less about the efficacy. So it speaks to that side of it. The Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine is a fine COVID-19 vaccine, maybe not as good as a couple of the other ones, but it's still, they're still all excellent at the end goal, which is preventing hospitalization and death. But then I come to the other side of things, just knowing the context of America, that they're almost in this situation on Broadway of saying, we need to put this FDA caveat on this for now in the early days, saying we're only going to accept a vaccine that's been approved by the FDA, because we know the pseudoscience that's flying around in the United States, and you just know there's going to be some Karen or Ken who says, well, I gave myself the holistic vaccine injection, and I am safe, right? So it does speak to this culture that's existing in regards to pseudoscience in the United States right now, where they need to cover their butts in the best way imaginable in these early days. But I do imagine this is something that's going to get revisited as we move forward. It's going to have to get revisited. And we'll explore that tourism side in just a second. But Megan, I know when we talked about vaccine passports a couple weeks ago, you did express some of the concerns that are out there. So I'm curious to kind of get your reaction to this story, knowing that context of some of the concerns you expressed earlier.
So there's lots of people who have concerns about vaccine passports, particularly how this intersects with an individual's civil liberties. And when is it okay to compel individuals to take certain medical procedures? When is it okay to restrict services based on that? When is it okay to restrict services based on characteristics in general? And many historical images come to people's minds. I think a policy like this just really shows why people have concerns about this and why it's so frustrating. And I know for me, one of the things that I've found really interesting the past 2 months is just listening to how people talk about vaccines. And I've heard people say, essentially, and these are people that I respect, I'm very grateful that they're in my life, but they'll say essentially, you know, I'm really not sure if the vaccine was okay, but I got it because it made me feel better. Psychologically, it made me feel more confident to go and interact with the world again. It made me think life was returning to normal. It made me feel better. That's why you should get the vaccine, for the psychological benefit. And then something like this comes out and you're like, or really, like, where is now the psychological benefit when it's like, well, actually, you should have gotten that other vaccine because now you can't go see Springsteen.
Michelle?
That's kind of where I'm at with this. Is I'm troubled by the fact that people are being penalized for following the best advice that was available at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's where I have an issue with singling out specific vaccines, AstraZeneca among them, because of the global uptake, like you said. And I'm a little perplexed by why the focus has been on FDA-approved vaccines as opposed to, let's say, some that have received the stamp of approval from the WHO. Why not take a slightly more inclusive approach? Mm-hmm. For vaccines that do have some credibility. We're not necessarily talking about, you know, kitchen sink formulas here. We're talking about ones that are in wide use.
Right.
And I'm just a bit perplexed as to why they went this route. And I'll be interested to see how other countries do, because I'm sure similar policies will kick in here too eventually. But I would be a bit surprised, let's say, if we adopted only the vaccines that were approved for domestic use. Now, so, in this case, there's a bit more overlap, but still.
I think that's something that's going to be more broadly discussed as we do see the implementation of more vaccine passports, that there might have to be some kind of centralized list of vaccines, right? There's going to have to be some understanding of what is approved. As you said, Michelle, maybe it's something like WHO, although we know those three letters to a certain sect of the American population are basically a four-letter word at this point, right? So there's always going to be a distrust of the institution that gets to rank that. And then you just know there's going to be, for example, the vaccine being produced in Canada, Novavax, right? You know that if that one doesn't end up making the list, then all of a sudden there's going to be more cries, right? How do they get to decide whether Sputnik in Russia or Novavax in Canada is one of the ones that is approved more generally for Broadway? So it's a very, very complex question. So that's why I'm understanding and empathetic of these businesses in New York State that say, we're in America, the FDA is our guidance on this, and that's the one we're going with.
Interesting. But what about the tourism angle? Broadway is such a hotspot for tourism and an economic driver. It is. So why shut out half the world?
Right. So that becomes another bigger question, right? How do you start engaging in the economic recovery of tourism if indeed you're going to start excluding huge parts of the world where that was the vaccine available to them? Megan, any kind of reaction or thoughts in regards to the tourism side of this?
You know, one of my first things was talking about, like, American culture and society at this moment. America. They've had an interesting few years and their public perception around the world. And I'm like, guys, this may not be helping you out so much here. Good work on that one. But tourism is important. This is New York. Everyone likes to go to New York. It's a huge tourism destination. I would hope that this becomes more of a concern quickly, because it's really crucial to that area's economics and their ability to function and return. And people have been clamoring for this return to quote unquote normal, and this is not normal. Saying you can only come to Broadway if you have AstraZeneca, if you have an FDA approved vaccine. So hopefully these concerns get worked out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, go ahead, Michelle.
I might add to that too. I hope there doesn't emerge a level of hypocrisy in this. When you start having more international guests on your late night shows or actors on your stages or athletes on your sports fields, I sincerely hope you're not allowing them to use vaccines that are denied to the audience coming to see them.
Yeah, definitely a fair point too. Hey guys, that's all the time we have on this topic. Great topic, Michelle. I feel like we were born to run with it. Coming up next, the Vancouver School Board has cited a lack of equity as a reason to scrap honors classes in math and science. We ask if this choice makes the grade. This is the Now News Panel on AMI. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.